But tonight we turn just a few verses in Colossians 3. We're working through beginning the application now of what it means to be having been raised with Christ, also having died with Him and our life been hidden with God in Him. Just a few verses on what we're supposed to do now. The positive sense. Last week we had two groups of five. Five vices, five more vices. Tonight it's five virtues. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, help us to put on these virtues as we consider them just for a few moments tonight. To your glory and for our good, we pray. Amen. We've all usually, at some point in our life, worn some type of uniform, some type of jersey, or even our t-shirts we got. It says, I love my church, New Covenant Presbyterian Church. When you're wearing your uniform, the organization usually of some kind that uniform represents, you're expected to conduct yourself as one becoming of one wearing that name. So we can really understand that. Again, we have I hadn't thought of it until I stood up here, that we have our church t-shirts, if nothing else. When we're wearing that, we want to be able to see, well, we want to look like and conduct ourselves like what our shirt says, that I love my church. When you're wearing your work shirt, when you're at work, obviously you're expected to be doing the job they call you to do. And when you're away, you want to conduct yourself. If you're on a team, young people, this is one of the ways of teaching teamwork and of teaching both, I'd say, a school, but both the jersey from the athletics, but also the jersey or a school uniform. You want to represent yourself as one appropriately, showing that you have internalized the values of the organization. And so when others see you and you're identified that way, that you uphold the values of the organization that you're representing. Of course, as Christians, our jersey is our baptism. We all wear that jersey, those who have either baptized as a baby, or if you weren't baptized as a baby, baptized as an adult or an older person. Either way, that water signifying that you're a part of God's community, of God's team, that your sins have been washed away, you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, you wear his righteousness, and now, as our passage today teaches, we want to live like those. Our one point, put on and practice the virtues of Christ. Put on and practice the virtues of Christ. With our new status as those raised and seated with Christ at the right hand of God in heaven, we are to put on then, put on, verse 12, put on then. In other words, exert some effort. You're saved by grace. You've been united to Christ. He's done it all. That's salvation, adoption, justification. Now, as we begin our sanctification, exert some effort. Put it on. Put them on. Paul is envisioning us putting on the character of Christ. But once again, he never tells us to do something without reminding us who we are. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Our new identity is not constructed from the outside. We live in a day where people have forgotten reality. I listened to on the radio the other day and a clip from the Tucker Carlson show where a person was trying to tell Tucker Carlson, you decide what gender you are. You decide it. And that he was trying to use science and saying it's a stated scientific fact that you decide what gender you are, which is, of course, absolute nonsense. And Tucker Carlson, this pretty savvy and bold, I hope he's actually a journalist. I think he probably is. Most folks nowadays are just sort of entertainers. They're not actually journalists who look for a story and find the facts and present the facts. He really just said, no, you don't construct that. That's a biological fact of how you're born. We don't construct reality. God made reality. And our new identity is a real identity. This is reality. For those united to Christ by faith, you are a new person. You do have a new identity. You're not dead in your sins anymore. You're alive. You have a new identity, a status. You've received it by grace through faith, but it's real. It's true. It's not something you've constructed. It's something God has done. You have a new identity. You're chosen. You're holy. You're beloved. God's chosen you. God set you apart, sanctified, separated. You're different from the world now. And you're beloved. And so he wants you to become more and more like his son. Of course, his son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Holy Spirit is committed to making us more like him. You know, God called Israel his chosen possession. God said about Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And now he's calling us by those same words, my chosen ones, my beloved. He's willing to call us to use the same description he uses for his own son, he uses of us. So, as God's chosen ones, as those God has set apart for his own purposes, as those he loves, then I want you to put on these characteristics. I want you to practice these virtues. And he names five. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And he says some things to do with those. Compassionate hearts. He's telling us, have empathetic feelings expressed in your actions toward one another. Care about each other. When things are going wrong, in your heart, care. When things are going well, in your heart, celebrate. Or what not to do, when things are going poorly for someone, you don't in your heart say, well, I'm glad that's finally happened to them. I'm down here in the dumps. I'm glad they've joined me. No. As those wearing the character of Christ, we don't do that. We go down in the valley with them to show compassion. But also when things go well, we don't say, well, that's too bad. Things are going well for you. It's not going well for me. No, we say, thank you, Lord, that my brother or sister, things are going well. Thank you. I celebrate that. And in a world with anger and hate abounding, truly believers need to be those that show compassionate hearts. That again, we don't condone the woman at the well's lifestyle, but having had her heart awakened to know Christ, we now welcome her in, and we help her now begin to show the character of Christ as her life now begins to change, and as she begins to get her life in order with the life of her new life that she now has, simply using her as an example from the morning message. Compassionate hearts, an empathetic feeling toward one another based on our relationship with Christ. Kindness, we could also say goodness or generosity. He's telling us to be kind to one another, to be ready to do good, to be ready to do good to one another even if we don't deserve it, which is most of the time, isn't it? Probably. Kindness, first to have a sensitivity toward one another, caring for one another, ready to do good, ready to do what God's done for us. Titus 3:4 tells us something about this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Emulate, by God's grace, by His Spirit, the loving kindness of God as He has put His loving kindness, His steadfast love upon us and within us. Humility. Put on humility, a posture of lowliness, a posture of servanthood, not a posture of, it's all about me, egoism, arrogance. No place for that here. We, like Christ, we look to the interest of someone else and not just our own interests. We do away with pecking orders and one-upsmanship. Humility. Meekness, or that is gentleness or courtesy. You know, this was an interesting one to study, what he's telling us by meekness. Again, we're talking about put on these things, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Meekness here is suggesting that we actually need to constructively help one another to get our lives in order with the gospel, but we do so in a way that is not one that, a way that doesn't bring condemnation, but that gives room for us to change and for us to grow and for us to, frankly, to do better and to get things in order. So when we see one another needing help, when we see those blemishes, when we recognize a blind spot in someone else's life and we help them come to see it, we give some room. We're meek about it. We give them room now to kind of to take ownership of that blind spot and then to begin to see it and then begin to change. So we bring constructive criticism to one another. But then we have to give a willingness to give the space for change. Patience. The willingness to take the long view in the face of each of our human frailties. Not taking vengeance, enduring wrongs when we have to, particularly within the body of Christ, and having a long view, realizing I've got to trust the Lord. He's going to bring each of us according to His own timetable to maturity in Christ. So those five virtues. He then says, what does this look like? Well, a couple of things it looks like is we bear with one another. We have forbearance. Bearing with one another, letting that patience actually work itself out in everyday life. Bearing with one another. How does that bearing with one another look in some specific situations? Well, he says, forgiving. Well, hold on. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We're still sinners. We're not fully sanctified yet. We're going to sin against each other. How often should we forgive? 7 times? How about 70 times 7 times, the Lord said. The word He uses here for forgive is actually the same word in that parable of the debtor where He says He canceled His debts. Canceling our debts against one another. And He tells us the key, remembering how much God has forgiven you. There's a story of Robert E. Lee after the war. By this point, he's the president of Washington College. And he would go out riding with a couple of his daughters. They would go on, they'd each get on their horse. They would go riding. They had several different trails they would ride on. And one of them, they went to a, they stopped. There was a woman with a well with some fresh water in her yard. And he stopped and said, may my daughter and I get a drink here. And out there by that well was a just this awful looking old tree that really didn't need to be, should have been cut down. And she said, General Lee, my husband was some soldiers from the north killed him right here by this tree. And I've just kept that tree right there so that I can just remember how much I hate them for killing my husband. And she waited for him to kind of go along with her. And he waited a little while. It's kind of some quiet moments. And he finished taking a drink. And he said, man, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your sharing this cold water with me. And madam, I'd like to tell you something I think you should do. Cut down that tree. Cut down that tree. And then he got on his horse and they rode on away and continued. You know, God uses that image of the bitter root. We got to cut down those trees. Cut down those trees that are just reminders of how much you hate somebody. Cut them down and say, Lord, make me new. Give me a forgiving spirit. Give me patience, meekness, humility, kindness, and a compassionate heart. And finally, love. Verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Two ways of looking at this. Some see it as, and maybe, you know, the beautiful thing about the scripture is when we're not sure sometimes, it's the same principle, it's just a matter of how it's applied. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That everything it could be, it's saying love will bind compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness together. But it also could be saying that love binds everyone together as we exemplify these virtues and these characteristics. Whatever the case may be, to practice any list of virtues without practicing love leads to distortion, to fragmentation, to stagnation. We need love, Christian love, so that we do apply each of these characteristics according to the whole counsel of God, to the whole biblical revelation, to the whole sense of who Jesus was, of who we are, of what God's holiness is, of what sin is, of what it means to become more and more dead to sin and alive to righteousness. We will have differences. We'll have honest differences. But the love of Christ will help us within this body of Christ to deal with them appropriately, to deal with them in Christian love. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The love of God will bind us together as the community of believers. The peace of Christ will keep us together. And his ultimate goal, where it says, bind everything together in perfect harmony. Another way of putting that is the bond of perfection. He desires to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. And one day, he will complete that job in us. Let's pray. Lord, help us, as those united to Christ by faith, to put on compassionate hearts, humility, patience, meekness, kindness. Thank you for the love of Christ. Through that love, we can forgive one another, even as you have forgiven us. We thank you in Christ's name.